saying in a nutshell in different ways. You've taken my word. I've taught you how to love with your heart. And these are my rules for how to love. You've taken my word and made it all about legalities and how you look and how you act. And you don't even care about your heart as long as you look right. And we don't do that consciously, but we do that. We're religious people. We try to do the right thing because we don't want to be punished. We try to do the right thing because we don't want to be judged. We try to do the right thing because we don't want to go to hell. And we're missing the entire point of Jesus is so worthy to be adored and loved. And the people that we're trying to love through our actions really deserve to be loved, not just treated right because we need to please God. So what he's trying to tell us is forget about your actions, good or bad, because they don't mean anything if your heart wasn't in it. And he's trying to say, stop focusing on your actions, really love like I've told you, or all the good actions and all the lack of sin in the world, and you're still lost. That's what he's telling us in a nutshell. So we're getting ready to go into a very, very, very misrepresented and misunderstood section of Scripture, okay? That's going to affect everybody here every day. Ready to rock? All right. Anybody ever seen that tattoo? All right. Only God can judge me. I've seen that tattoo so many places. It's spoken. This is one of the most quoted things you will ever hear from Christians and especially non-Christians. I've seen it. Judge not that you be not judged. This is the verse we're going into where most people get that slogan from when they say, only God can judge me, right? It's starting with the verse that we're beginning with during the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not to be not judged. Not only have I seen tattoos, it's so easy to find these everywhere. I've seen t-shirts. I've seen road markers locally. Some are still up right now beside the road and with someone's name and it says under it, only God can judge me. There's truth to that, and there's not truth to that. It's very misrepresented. I will tell you this. By the end of the sermon, you will understand why. If someone says it or puts it in your face that only God can judge me, it's usually because they're doing wrong, and they know they're doing wrong, and they're going to continue to do wrong by choice, and they're trying to shift the blame and shut you up. It doesn't mean that you judged correctly. Doesn't mean that you didn't sin by judging, but it also doesn't mean that it's wrong to always judge. And that's what we have to look at today. Because what happens is Christians hear comments like that, and you read a scripture like we just read, judge not that you be not judged, and you don't go any deeper, and you just listen to what people say, and you think, "Ooh, not supposed to judge." And so you just drop all judgment about anything while the world tramples God underfoot and destroys each other, but you're not supposed to judge. So we really need to see what scriptures say because it's crystal clear what it says, but you can take pieces like we just read, judge not, lest you be judged, and you can turn it around to mean anything you want. You can do that anywhere in scripture. So we've got to look at it in context today with what was written and compare it to the unbelievable number of scriptures about judgment all the way through scriptures. Old and new. And then we're going to put it all together and we're going to figure out exactly what scriptures mean. And there won't, if you listen close and you go back and you read everything that we tell you today in context, you won't have any argument whatsoever. You'll be like, okay, I got it. How many of you feel guilty every time you do judge anybody for any reason because you think you're breaking the law? I mean, we all feel that way sometimes. All right. So I want you to listen close. The first question is this passage telling us we should never judge? So let me ask you a question to answer a question. Should we ever judge? Judge not that you be not judged. Oh, see, they threw the scripture at us. Well, should we stop judging criminals and just let everybody out of all the inmates go? Because it's wrong of us to judge their actions. That's, you shouldn't be so judgmental. Just let them all go. I'll bet you if you were the one that was sinned against, if it was your daughter that was abused, if it was your money that was stolen, you wouldn't agree with that. How about, should we stop telling people that they're sinning against God and that there's a better way and that you are worth something and that you don't have a good destination? Should we stop telling people in the church that are spitting in God's face when they come in here and act all holy and then go out and act like imbeciles and hurt the name of Jesus? Should we stop telling them they shouldn't do that? Should we let people come into the churches like they are today and preach the most ungodly, Christ-dishonoring, hurtful doctrine you've ever heard and just shut our mouths because we're not supposed to judge? Let me tell you something, and I want you to listen closely. This is how we're going to start, and you've got to get this deep. At times, to not judge literally means you don't have an ounce of love in your body. To not judge means I don't care what happens to you. I don't care how bad you hurt. I don't care whom else you do hurt. All I'm worried about is looking correct and not making waves. I don't want problems for me. That's what it means when there's times that you won't judge. Now, does that mean you can be a beanhead through gritted teeth and stomping your feet and balling your fist up and being a prophet? No, and we'll get into that. But the fact that you say I should never judge because Scripture says I shouldn't, well, I know that's a lie because God is a God of love. And in this very sermon, two verses later, he's going to tell us to judge. Well, how can you say that? Well, just watch it in context and you'll understand. Read everything according to the way it's written and you'll understand. Scriptures don't conflict with one another. But don't you dare take dumb comments like that with one scripture tagged onto it with no context whatsoever and say, oh, well, there you go. They use my own scripture against me. I'm wrong. It is straight from the pits of hell to say that you are never supposed to judge anything. Every sermon that I ever have to bring to you based upon the Word of God doesn't do you a bit of good unless you judge how it should affect you. For you to sit here right now and say, Doug, you shouldn't be so judgmental. Guess what that is? That's a judgment, right? So, yeah, we have to judge. Don't be ridiculous. But it's how we judge. That's what he's getting to. And it's crystal clear. And you're going to understand that in a second, okay? The problem is, in the society with which we live, our modern blameless attitude makes any judgment you pass on anybody horrendous. And you know why? Because nobody wants you to tell them that what they're doing is wrong, so they won't dare tell you you're wrong. And what that amounts to is, I don't care who I hurt, I don't care who I offend, I don't care what the consequences, you better not stop me from doing what I want to do, and I might just do it just to show you I can, because I don't care about anybody but me. That's what a completely blameless society wants. To judge your actions is based upon the fact that someone's as important, if not more important than you are, and maybe you should curb some behavior because you love somebody and you shouldn't act that way. Maybe. Your parents judge your actions because they don't want you to be an imbecile, right? Because they love you. So, let's get into it. The simple, glaring truth is, if you don't judge, you don't love. Now, for this reason, the powerful, clearly instructed truth is, you listen in class, say amen. You are repeatedly not asked, not given permission, commanded to judge. Now, I am the least judgmental person in the world, and if you listen to me today, you will be full of mercy and grace, and no one will see you as this horrible judgmental person. No one. That's not what I'm getting at. The most disgusting thing in the world, and one of the reasons they hated Jesus, is because all the people that Jesus preached against in his day that were holy walked around with a chip on their shoulder, more righteous than thou, looking down their nose at everybody, condescendingly judging everything they did. And if that's your idea of what a Christian should do as a judge, then you got issues. That's not what I will be preaching today. So don't go home misquoting anything I say and just get that out of your head, okay? First off, so let's check this out. I'm going to go through scriptures. I'm going to go through them kind of quick because they speak for themselves, but I want you to see there is nothing that I'm making up, nothing that I'm twisting, and nothing that I'm taking one time out of Scripture and making it something it's not, that it's repeated over and over and over in many places, and it's all Scripture, it's not me, okay? So first off, do we judge? Jesus tells us, we're in chapter 7 of Matthew, right? Look a few verses later, Matthew 7, 15 and 16 and 19 and 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So if I know them by their fruits, what am I supposed to do with their fruits? Quiz. Judge them? Not judge the person, but judge what? The fruits. Okay. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thereby, by their fruits, you will know them. Okay? You can look at my head and call me bald, and that's not a bad judgment. That's just being honest. Okay? You're not judging me as a person. You're just being honest. That's what he means there. Listen to this one. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul speaking, 3 and 5. For indeed, listen closely. What you got to guess is, well, you just read to me, judge not, lest thou be judged. How can you say this? We're going to get to it, but I want you to see this repeatedly. Excuse me. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have already, what class? Have already judged. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. As though I were present, him who has so done this deed, I've already judged him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the singular day of the Lord. That kind of shows you when final judgment's coming. We're seeing a difference here of what we can and cannot judge that's going to become clearer and clearer as we go. Next one, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. If I'm going to test the spirit, what am I doing? I'm judging it. Okay, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirit of the person speaking to you, and you judge whether that's of God or not. He's given you a commandment to do that. If you don't, which many don't in the church today, and that's why we're acting like complete idiots and not understanding anything God's called us to and not understanding real love because we won't judge what's being spoken to us in the church. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints, listen closely to this one, class, okay? The saints will judge the world. And if the world would be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? Listen to this last part. How much more things that pertain to this life? He said, I'm going to put you in charge of judging the angels that are giving you a hard time right now. And that's a nice thought. Every time you know a demon is tormenting you, you say, you just have your day, buddy, because one day I will be your judge. Because that's the scripture. But now, if God's going to give us judgment that heavy, he says, why do you think you're not allowed to judge the smallest details in my name on this planet? So are we commanded to judge? You answer my question, please. Are we commanded repeatedly to judge? Yes. One more, 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual judges what? All things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Well, what does that mean? It means you can judge things, but you can't judge people. Okay? Let's go on. The problem with most Christians today is this. Religious people, which is not us, I'm sure. Religious people tend to judge when they shouldn't. And they fear judgment when they should. Did you get that? We judge when we shouldn't, even if we don't tell anybody. But in the places we should make a judgment call, we won't. It's not that we should not be judging. Listen. Please get this. Let it sink in. We're not taking the time to understand God's word in true love, so that we can understand how and when to judge. Because all judgment is based upon God, and all judgment is based upon true love. That is it. And we don't take the time to understand his word, and we definitely don't take the time to love people as we should. So all of our judgments come through false claims, false teaching, worldly views, and dark hearts. And we're a mess. And we claim religious righteousness while we're doing it. I want to give you some solid, we're going to jump right into it and go through the rest. I'm going to give you some solid answers because it's simple. It's simple, but it's important. Solid answers scripturally as to what judging means, okay? Numero uno, judging others. We are never to judge what the heart of another person looks like to our Savior. We are only to judge their actions. If you didn't catch that in all the previous scriptures, I'm going to give you a couple more because I want this to be crystal clear. You are in every one of those that we just read and in everything we're getting ready to read commanded to judge actions. But you are commanded never to judge the motivation, the desire, the passion behind someone's heart. I don't care how much word they have, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what they're tainted by. You don't have any idea what's going on in their heart. You don't have any idea how you would view the things that you've been taught about Jesus Christ if you had lived the life they had lived, right? He says you can judge everything they're doing, and you better judge it right or wrong, and you better judge it whether it's loving, but you better not think you're big enough to decide whether their heart is going to belong to me or not. That's for me. And that's for me in that day. Okay? That's where we mess up. I can say you really shouldn't do that. I can't say you're a lost idiot going to hell. All right? Look, James 4:11. Do not speak evil of what? One another. I can't speak bad about who you are as a person because I don't know what's going on in there. Brethren, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, still quoting, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. So we're not talking about actions, we're talking about what? The final resting place of the soul. All right, who are you to judge another? Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, you'll go, I'll go. Let me make that call at my judgment seat. You don't judge their heart. So we just read about five or six verses that says, you better judge, you better judge, you better judge, you better judge. And then he turns right around and says, you better not, you better not, better not. And now, I want you to go back and look every one of them up. Every one that says don't judge is talking about action, 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 action. Every one that says please do judge is talking about, please don't judge is the heart. Please do judge is the actions. All right? 1 Corinthians 4:3-5. Last one, but you read, listen close. 1 Corinthians 4:3-5. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. He's not talking about his actions all the way through Scripture. Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. He talks all the time about the law of love and grace and how you should treat people, right? He talks about just a few minutes ago, judging people enough, they got to be thrown out of the church. But it's their actions. Right here, he says, not only can I not judge your heart, I can't even judge mine because I don't even know what's happened to me and how tainted my view is. Only my Lord knows to judge my own heart correctly. Okay, he's getting to the bottom of it. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praises will come from God. You have got to understand, you better know right from wrong, but you better never, no matter how much Scripture you think they know, you better never judge someone's heart before the Lord that created them, because He alone knows their experiences and their pains and their desires and their motives, and we don't know. And we might think we got it pegged in all of our wisdom and righteousness, but we don't. And He says, you leave that to me. I created them. I'll judge them. You can't even judge your own heart. Leave that part to me. The Creator and the Savior gives a final judgment. And now listen to this. Even He only does it on the one final day. Proverbs 16:2. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates the motives. 1 Kings 8:39. And give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you, God, know. For you alone, God, know the hearts of all the sons of men. And Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. Now, this is what I want you to get. Who is the only person, you better get this right, who is the only person in all the universe that has the right to judge you? The one that died that can take away your judgment. the one that knows you're lost, the one that knows you can't cut the grade, the one that died and said, doesn't matter what you've done, anything and everything you've done, I'll put it on me and I'll forgive you. And since I have the power to forgive you, and since I'm the one that died to get rid of all your sins, I am the one that has the right to judge you, right? Now listen to this. Even he, the only person that has a right to judge you, even he says, until the final day, I won't even do it. Watch this. The verse we know so well, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, let's read one more verse. Verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to what class? Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. So if the one that died, if the one that sits on the throne with the power and the authority to judge the world says, I won't do it. I came to save you first and give you your chance. Why do you think you've got the right to look at somebody and in just a few weeks or months or years of knowing this person, well, I got their heart figured out, Lord, they stink, they're going to hell. You think you got a right when the Son of God who has judgment in his hand says, no, I will not even judge until that day. And then I will reveal their hidden motives and I will make a call based on things you will never know. But we do it. I've done it. So far we've established the fact. You can judge, can you not? But you can judge actions, not people, not their hearts. Now, let's return to the sermon and put that statement into context. Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. We have a little connecting word there. What is it? For, meaning what I'm getting ready to say is attached to what I just said, right? Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? For how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye. I would love to have seen what attitude Jesus taught this with. Because I bet it was sarcastic and humorous. All right? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, let's get this, how it connects. Remember, the entire Sermon on the Mount evaluates the condition of the heart. Got that in mind. That's where we are. All right. Jesus is saying, do not judge. Connect this. Go back and read it yourself and watch how it all flows together and put it in context. Jesus is saying, do not judge, because the same judgment that will be used on you that you've used on someone else. There's that connecting. For, if you judge, the same rule applies to you. So you think, well, that means I shouldn't judge. No, because look, he says, don't judge or you'll be judged, right? For, now, he gives this awesome illustration of the plank and the speck. And he says, how can you judge the speck in your brother's eye if you have what? A plank in your own eye, right? All right. What he's saying is this. Don't you dare judge the speck that you see, because I'm going to use the same judgment on you and you've got a plank sticking out of your own eye. So it's not that you can't judge. It's that how dare you judge when you know. I think if I got a plank sticking out of my skull, I know it, right? He's saying if you know you've got glaring sins, if you know in your heart, if nobody else knows, that you are living next to the edge of the pits of hell, you know it, and you're trying to judge your brother, you don't think it's going to bring judgment on you? He's not saying you can't judge. He's saying judge not that you be not judged, because you need to judge yourself first. That's what he's saying. Are you with me? He's not saying don't do it. He's saying you better not do that till you check out yourself. Now listen. If we truly had a heart for God, if we truly had a heart for his righteousness, I want you to please listen to this. We will be much quicker to judge our own hearts than we would anyone else anyway. If all you care about is how righteous you look, if all you care about is getting your vengeance, if all you care about is trying to drag somebody else down, the problem with religion is the only way you can look religious is to make somebody else look less religious. And if your whole goal is to just dog somebody every time they mess up and you got all kinds of stuff in your heart. And Jesus is simply saying this. We're supposed to judge one another in our actions and keep each other held to the fire. But if you are so hell-bent on judging your friend all the time that you never look at your own heart, how do you think you possibly have the real love that it's going to take to judge them in the first place? If you're really searching for me, if you really want me, if it's really all about me and becoming righteous before me, you'll be so bent on your own heart trying to get it right, you might not even notice them. And when you do notice them, you're going to judge them differently because it'll be with love. Because it'll be with a real desire to help them instead of just beating them down so you can look more religious. He's saying until you get to the point that it's your natural desire to judge your own heart first, you're in no position, no condition to look at your brother. Judge not, because the same judgment's going to come back at you if you don't get it straight first. Look at your own heart. And if you're not looking at your own heart, you are disqualified from judging your brother. Because you don't care about me anyway. And you definitely don't care about them if all you're doing is judging them and you've not cared enough to know that you're unholy and that you don't have communication with me and you're not showing me love in your actions, but yet you're so quick to judge them. Judge not. Do you see what he's saying now? Does that make sense? Now put it in perspective and it goes with the rest. I got literal goose pimples all over me because it hurts to teach you this because you know we do it. This is what Scripture says if you read it the way God wrote it. And that's why he had to come back and throw it at us. Because it's like you've missed it all. If we did it right, our goal for judgment wouldn't be religious or selfish or vengeful. We would be judging after we got ourselves right because the Holy Spirit was in us and we were filled with love and we wanted to be a guide in our judgment and we wanted to be a teacher in our judgment and we wanted to lead them out of their sin and we wanted to love on them and we wanted to see them close to God because that would make God happy and that would make them happy. And it's not just to point out their faults to feel good about ourselves. If we judged after we judged our own heart because we were in love with God, it would be because our goal is to help them, even if it had to be a harsh judgment. But I will tell you what, it is so easy, much easier, to just pass a quick legalistic judgment on somebody's behavior and call out their glaring faults. It's a lot easier to do that than it is to genuinely care enough to step in and say, ooh, that's bad, let me help. It's so easy to do this. It's really hard to do this, right? Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. To see where Galatians 6:1 actually literally reiterates what Jesus said. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. First take care of your own heart, then you can take care of him. That's what he says. Galatians 6:1 just said right there, go to that person. First of all, I want you to catch this. The word overtaken. It doesn't mean that every time somebody screws up one time, you being the righteous police need to jump in and smack him in the face and point it out. We all sin. Almost every day, and you don't need somebody in your face every time. It said if you are overtaken with a sin, you indulged it, it took you over, and you need help. It's time for me to step in and call a sin, but even then, considering yourself first, lest you're not even doing it with the right heart, lest you fall and make a mockery of me while you're trying to correct them, right? Some people have made a career and literally added a new category in scriptures, and their spiritual gift is judgment. And all you do is look at, and in this world today, don't you dare tell me that it's not all over every one of us. All you do is look at every action and hear every word and try to find the nitpick thing you can find wrong with it so you can dog somebody and judge what they've done. It's the way of society now. We've become the righteous police. Another problem with the beam in the eye thing while we're on it. Listen to this. Some of you, using that same model, you know you've got a beam sticking out of your eye and you ain't going to do nothing about it. And since you ain't going to do nothing about it and you know it, you won't say anything about the speck in their eye because as long as you don't, maybe no one will mention your beam, right? So you stay under the radar, and someone does genuinely need help. Someone genuinely does need you to come along and put your arm around them and help them out of their sin, and you're useless because you're more sinful than they are, and you know it, and you won't do anything, and it makes you dead in the water to lovingly help someone else out of their problem because you're not serious enough about Jesus and his love to be of any good to his kingdom. Does that make sense? Have you ever been there that you're ashamed to say anything to anybody else because of the way you're living? If you say no, then I'll say you're also a liar, because we have. So this point too, we have to be driven, get this, before you judge anyone. And if you can't get this right, then just hang up your judgment cloak, okay? Before you judge anyone, you have to be driven by a hunger and a thirst for righteousness after him. That has to be your goal. And then you're so in love with him and you're so worried about doing the right thing for the right reason because you love, now your heart is equipped to judge. Because in that judgment, you're going to do it in love and you're going to literally help somebody. So, Matthew 7:5, hypocrite first. I want you to get this. Look at the words that are lit up as a closing on point two. First, meaning there are steps here. Remove the plank from your eye. What's the next powerful word? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He doesn't say don't remove the speck. He doesn't say don't judge, don't help them with what their problem is. He says first, judge your own heart. Because the same thing you're going to use to judge them will be thrown on you. So make sure you got it right. Okay? Now, three, our next major issue with judging people is this, and we just got to face it. Most of the world and even the church, tell me this isn't true. You listen, say amen. We have begun to judge the words of God and whether they are acceptable to us rather than allowing the words of God to judge us. And you do it, and I do it. And I've sat at the table while we break bread after church and listen to people in this church justify what people do, justify what they do, knowing it's against Scripture. And you hear people all day, well, if God doesn't want me the way I am, then he's just a judgmental God anyway, and I don't need him. Well, you just passed judgment on him. And last I checked, he made you and made the universe, and he knows a little more than you do. And we are to stand before the Almighty Creator. He is not to stand before us because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. And in his judgment on you, first he died a horrid death of total humiliation and pain, giving up all he loved because he doesn't want you to pass on without him. So don't tell me he doesn't care about you, but the fact that you won't change one stinking thing about yourself tells me a whole lot about where you put him in your agenda of importance. So the whole fact is you could care less about him and you're just blowing a smokescreen. We have begun to judge the words of God instead of letting the words of God judge us. My shoes, I've measured them, are pretty close to a foot long. Suppose I decided we need to buy carpet up here and I'm like, well, you know, I feel pretty good about my shoes. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I just get all my measurements according to my shoe size, and I send off for the carpet. How do you think that's going to turn out? Something that important, you need to just go get a tape measure, right? How much more important is your soul? How much more important is the person that you're judging? But you will use something worse than the soles of your shoe to measure a foot, and you'll throw judgments out all day. You'll throw judgments out about yourself. You'll throw judgments out about other people, and you won't one time take the yardstick and really find out. You won't take one evening on Google and in your concordance Bible and decide this is what God really says. You'll go 10 years thinking something that you heard one time and it happened to be good to you, and you'll go with it, and you'll ruin lives, and you'll ruin your life because you won't get the yardstick out. We judge according to what we think is morally right. And I'll be honest, more times than not, I think I can safely say, we don't have a clue to what God is saying when we're passing judgment on somebody or even making our own calls. I have people, and it's okay because I want you to ask. I want you to ask if you won't look it up. But I have people asking me the simplest, most basic questions all the time, like there's just no way they could ever find out God's will on this. And I'm like, if you read more than two paragraphs in the Old or the New Testament, you might know that. Here's a news flash. And I hope you get this, and I hope this goes all over the world on the internet. Our society, in our limited knowledge, you listen, say amen. Amen. Our society, in our limited knowledge, with our tainted, dark, selfish, I'm always the victim hearts, is not the great moral compass of all man's history. We ain't got it going on. Because we decided politically, what's right and what's wrong. And we want to put God under the microscope and decide we're going to judge His word and say whether He's right or wrong and acceptable to us because we've been here a whole lifetime is the problem. If He's God, He's pretty big. If He's God, He can be trusted. If He made us, maybe we should trust He's a little smarter than us. Maybe you need to suck it up and realize that just because your culture of geniuses has decided that something's morally right, if your scriptures don't agree, until you catch up on why, and you will if you follow His principle, you'll find out why. But until you do, shut up if you believe in Him and do it. And quit making judgments on what you think is right. Because if you don't agree with Him and you refuse to agree with Him because you think He's wrong and you're right, then go find another book because you don't want Him anyway. Go find one that agrees with you. That's great. But as long as you're calling Him God and you're calling that His word, if you don't agree, then just shut up and study until you find out why it's right. Because He doesn't ask us to do anything that isn't completely enveloped in real love. And if you don't agree with Him, it's because you care more about yourself or you just don't understand in ignorance how that is true love. And until you find out, trust Him. Do you understand that? We can't put Him on trial every time our society doesn't agree. We can't put Him morally on trial every time we don't agree because He's pretty smart and He's a lot more loving and He's not tainted like we are. So trust Him or move on. It's okay to move on. It's better to move on than destroy His name. We trust what other people say about scriptures, especially if it agrees with us. That's why you have more churches out there than you do shelves on a candy store. You find what appeals to you, and if someone else said it and they agree with you, then that makes it the gospel. You don't want to take the time because you're too distracted, too into the world, too lazy to confirm anything they say to you. And if they say it and happens to appeal to you, you'll grab it and run with it. And then you've got an excuse because someone taught it to you. God will hold you accountable for that. You read scriptures through a tainted lens. I've preached scriptures as clear as I possibly can, and I've given 30 scriptures to back up what I said, and I'll go to walk out of here sometimes, and somebody will come up to me and say, man, I'm so glad you said, and it'll be 180 degrees the opposite of everything I just taught. And I'm like, what spaceship did you step off of? How did you get that out of what I just said? You know how it happens? Because we all have a predetermined idea of what we would like for you to say. And when you're speaking, this is what people do when they actually do read the scriptures very often. Instead of trying to read what God has to say to us, we go in with a predetermined idea of hoping we'll find this in the scriptures. And we twist it in our tainted view to say anything we want. Or we'll read 12 verses on judging, like we did today, and you'll pick that one that says, judge not or you'll be judged. And you'll let go of the other 11, and you'll hang on to the promise of that one. And you'll totally take it out of context and misquote it forever so you can have scripture to back up what you say, and you know you're doing it consciously. That's not okay. If you're going to judge your heart, you're in a dangerous place if you will consciously or lazily, if that's a word, not look at what the real rule book says. And you're sure stepping out on shaky ground if you will throw your moral standard on someone else when you don't know that it's God's. And you're sure stepping out on shaky ground. If you refuse to pass a judgment in love that would help someone come back based upon false information that's not in Scripture. Every time you pat someone on the back as a brother or sister and tell them it's okay and it's not okay in Scriptures, do you know who's going to be held accountable in judgment on that one? Because it's love. Psalm 119 is a long psalm, and it's awesome because it's all about the Word and being in love with the Word and what the Word can do for you. So I'm just going to quote a few verses from it, and I'd love for you to go back and read it all. But you cannot, should not, ever pass judgment on yourself or anybody else until you get the Word in your heart, until you learn enough to know. And if you don't know, then be smart enough to go to the Gospels and say, I don't know, let me look it up before we talk about this. Let me be humble enough to say I don't know, and let's look it up together. Let me be humble enough to say I got the same problem. Listen to this, Psalm 119, 5 through 7, verse 11 and verse 30. And the only reason I'm picking is because I want to just hit you with a few verses, but they all say the same thing. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. How many times does he have to say it in five sentences? Everything is about my heart and your word. And before I have those two right, I can't judge anything. And all of 119 is that way. Go back and read it. If you're going to judge another person's actions or you're going to join in accusations and judgments, it's imperative that you know your scriptural grounds. It's imperative that you're honest with yourself about it and you're not picking and choosing. And it's imperative that you act on knowledge and not gossip and not personal desire. Because your goal is not to put them down, not to lift you up. Your goal is to love them and help them. By not following this plan, Satan has destroyed lives and split churches. Almost done. For the next point, let me ask you a question. Suppose an avid, hateful atheist comes up to your 12-year-old daughter and says, "Man, you can't buy all that moral stuff. You can't let anybody tell you what you should or shouldn't do. A 12-year-old that wants to have all the sex they want to have, you should be able to do it because you're free. So you should just be into the free love thing. 12 years old doesn't mean anything. Let me show you a few things." How would you feel about that? How many would say, "I have a right to bear arms"? What if I came up to you and said, "Hey, you know, my daughter acted like your daughter's acting, and I did an honor killing because she's not going to hurt the name of my family that way. What I really think you need to do is you need to quietly take your daughter's life before you take any more mud in the face." How would you feel about that? You know that's how some people live, right? Both of those examples. How do you feel about it? It infuriates you. Now stop. How does someone feel that doesn't know the first thing about the love or the history or the reality of Jesus Christ? How do they feel when you get in their face and you push your morals down their throat and up their nose? And you don't show an ounce of love or an ounce of proof. And they don't know what you know. And they don't feel what you feel. And they don't have the self-worth that you understand in Jesus Christ. And the first words you say to them are, "You're going to hell. You're a homosexual. You're a drunkard. You're loose and sleeping around. You're disgusting. God hates what you are. You're going to hell." You're going to feel about the same way that you did about that atheist that's talking to your daughter, or about that man that said you should do an honor killing because you got no idea where they're coming from and that's not your morality. And you know what? If I was a Muslim, I would first have to convert you. And after you found the ways, then I might talk to you about that honor killing, right? In the same way, God has made it crystal clear we are not to simply force our legalistic morality down somebody's throat when they're not a professing Christian. Now, we got to be very careful here, and I want you to listen closely, okay? Because we can get this wrong. If you come, and it's so easy to do, and it makes you feel so righteous, like you're trying to reach the world, hogwash. If you come to someone that doesn't know the first thing about Christ or has had nothing but a bad experience, and all you want to do is judge them, then you have shown not one ounce of real passion or real interest to get to know them, why they're hurting, where they came from, what they think, what their thought process is. You don't care anything about them. You just want to make sure you look holy and religious by telling them how bad they are. Now, that's the exact opposite of love, by the way. You're using judgment to do just the exact opposite. God says very clearly, and I will show it to you, that judgment is to be saved for those inside the church. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer on this, and we're going to, if you're sitting here, no. How do they know? How do they even know they're going to hell? Just hold on a minute. Save that thought and just focus on what I'm telling you first, okay? We'll get to that. If your judgment isn't based on love, you've lost them. Now, First Corinthians 5:9. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of what class? This world. Or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, meaning outside the church. Since then, you would need to go out of this world. It'd be like, man, if you want to cut yourself off from them, you might as well cut your wrists because they're everywhere. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone, what class? Named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person, for what have I to do with judging those who are what? Outside. Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Paul is not saying don't tell them about the righteousness of God or the sin that they're in. He's not saying that. Listen to this. He's saying if they don't know anything about Jesus Christ, the first thing you need to show them is no matter where they are, what does Jesus do? The first thing, no matter, we're all sinners condemned to hell, right? Every one of us, the first thing Jesus could do is come to us and say, you need to burn in hell. The first thing he does is say, you are of so much worth to me, I would rather die than lose you. Now let me show you how to love like I do. Let me show you a better way. Because where you are right now, I can't let you into my kingdom. But he never lets you lose sight of you are enough worth to him that he wants to die for you. It's not that you can't tell people about your righteous God. You better tell them somewhere along the line that they are sinners and that they need a holy God and they need his blood and they need to go to heaven. But what he's saying is they should never hear that, having no knowledge of the scriptures. They should never hear that in condemnation. And before they hear the first word about it, the first thing they should see, feel, and hear from you is complete love and acceptance. Because that's what God did to us. And then you say, this complete love and acceptance is because the love of Jesus Christ showed me. And to my God, you're $1 million. And you can't get to him the way you are. And he's smarter than you are and smarter than I am. And let me show you why what you've got going on is wrong. But that comes after they realize there is a God, and his name is Jesus, and he died for you, and he's awesome, and you're worth $1 million to him. Because most people that are living in sin, most people that have chosen crazy lifestyles, they've gotten enough judgment in their life, and that's why they're where they are. And they just need to know the worth that they have, because most people that are living in the pits of hell, they already feel worthless. You don't need to teach them any more of that. You need to just show them you love them. And then you show them the truth. But even then, you show them the truth without condemnation. It's up to God to show them that. You got to show them the truth in love. But you've got to show them the truth without condemnation. Unless they're in the church. And then you say, hey, dude, you say you love God. You know this isn't right. I got to hold you to this. That's when you can get on them, right? That's when you not only have a right, but you have a responsibility out of love. Because once that person on the street does accept Christ and they do come in and they do study His Word, now I'm talking to them on a different level. Now you should have the knowledge and the love of Christ in your heart. And if you're not doing it, I need to call you out because we need to get this right or you'll be back where you were. It's not up to us to judge the world. It's up to us to love them until they know about my Jesus and then tell them how they're going to miss the greatest love of their life because of what they're living in. And lastly, Jesus ends the section with a part. This is very quick and very easy, but this is probably the most misunderstood thing you've ever heard in Scripture. How many of you ever heard this verse and scratched your head? Matthew 7:6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Okay, this has been used to teach so many things, even including, and tell me you haven't thought this yourself. A lot of people get this and they're like, you are such a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm not even going to present the gospel to you because you're like a dog. You're a swine. You're such a scumbag. I can't even approach you. You need to suck it up and get a little bit better morally, and then you might actually be ready to hear the gospel, but not where you are. You ever thought that's what that means? A lot of people do. I got one question. Are you nuts? That can't be what it means. Because Jesus, part of the reason He was crucified was because He went to the worst of sinners that nobody else would give the time of day to because they were scum. And He loved on them. So do you think that's what Jesus meant, if that's one of the reasons He got killed? Well, right here you can give them the gospel, but man, once they get right there, they're not worth my pearls. They're really, really lost, and the really, really lost don't get the pearls. No, we're all really, really lost. That is not what the Scripture means. Can I get a booyah? Thank you. All right. So, what does it mean? Well, let's put it in context. We're talking about forgiving. We're talking about judging. We're talking about you don't judge people outside, you judge people inside. So if I'm right on the topic of don't judge outside, judge inside, I'm judging Christians, but don't throw pearls to the pigs and the dogs, who might I be talking to? Well, 2 Peter 2:21 gives us an idea. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow has washed, who has having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, Paul is very clearly saying it's the guy that and the girl that knows the gospel, that knew Jesus Christ, that's seen the way, that's felt the Spirit, that turns again to their scumbag life, the dog to his vomit, the pig to the mud. So we're talking about who here? Christians. We're talking about who here? People that have already heard, people that already know, people that have the truth, people that have the pearl, and they don't care. They turn. Because he's talking about it in the context of judgment, and you can only judge Christians inside the church. That's the only way this could possibly be meant. So he's saying, if someone who knows my ways and they've been warned that judgment is going to come to these actions, they've been warned that this ruins my name, they've been warned that this is going to hurt other people, they've been warned that it's going to hurt the people they're involved in their sin, and they know better, and they've walked the way before, and after telling them again and again, they won't listen. Listen to me. He says, that person, and he backs it up in other verses. He says, when somebody like that comes along, you have to put them out. Not because you've judged the condition of their permanent soul, but because if you go on anymore, you're casting the pearl of my sacrifice to someone who's trampled it under their feet. To someone who should see the worth and they've turned it into vomit and mud. He says you reach a point that all you're doing when you continue to warn someone is begging them for me, and I'm God, and I love them, and I died for them, and if that ain't enough, we're not begging anymore. I don't have to beg them. And if all they're going to do is make a mockery of me, every time you tell them that they're wrong, stop telling them. Because they're making a mockery of the pearls that you throw to them. He says, disassociate yourself in love even then, hoping that that will turn them around and make them realize it got so bad you just had to walk away. Maybe that'll bring them back. Even do that in hope that they come back. But stop throwing the pearls. Don't give them one more pearl about my love, because they're just trampling it. That, in context, is exactly what this verse means, and I'm not doubting that, because it's written in the context of judgment within the church. Do you understand that? It's not about who you give the gospel to. It's about stop begging for God when somebody's just spitting at him in their sin. All right, we're done. Summary. Get this right. That's just a recap of what we said, and I forgot to hit the button. Do not disgrace the name of our Lord by continually giving his words of warning to someone who knows and understands, yet continues to sin openly. Here it is. This is everything that the scriptures say in five sentences. Ready? Only the actions and fruits can be judged, never their salvation or their heart. Got it? That's the first rule. Number two, after careful consideration of your own sins. You can only judge your actions, not their heart, and only after you've judged your own actions. And that's only as a loving means to heal and save, not to be religious and righteous. And that's only according to God's word, not your own standards, not the pastor's standards, not the church's standards, not anything else you've ever read, not the commentary from John MacArthur, but what does Scripture say? And that's only to those who claim the name of Christ in the first place. And when they will not listen to you, stop throwing pearls. That is everything that scriptures say comprehensively about judging. We get it wrong. Either because we're scared to judge or because we're professional, spiritually gifted judgers. So here is your motto to not forget what we said today. So simple. You ready? One, say it with me. You ready to read it? The beginning. Judge others' actions, but judge your own first. Never judge the depth of another man's thirst. Does that make sense? I can judge your actions after I've judged myself, but I can never judge how holy you are. If it helps you, turn it into a rap. Judge another's actions, but judge yourself first. Never judge the depth of another man's thirst. Sorry. You know what? You will never forget that now. But remember that. That should stick with you. You should be able to remember that easy. And it tells you everything you just learned in one shot. And I really would appreciate it if you'd cut that last 20 seconds. But when I make my son get up and leave, it's bad. So here's what you need to do, based on everything we've just said, and we're closing. First thing you need to do, if you didn't get it out of what we just said, I'll just spoon feed you, because I need it too. Judge yourself. Judge yourself based on God's word. That might mean letting yourself off the hook. That might mean condemning yourself and realizing you got to change things and ask forgiveness, and then walk out of here happy as a lark because all has been said and done and put under the blood. But judge yourself first. And get yourself right so that you can be used as a tool in love to help other people who need to be told where they are is not a good place. Learn the word. Seek after him so desperately that what you do bothers you, so that when you do judge your brother, it will be with the same love and you will really help him. Stop being a chicken and telling the world, especially the church, when they are wrong and they are spitting on Jesus Christ and they are using the church to send people to hell and ruin lives. Because if you won't stand up, who will? And when you go outside these church walls, you better genuinely ask God to make your heart break for the people that are lost in sin, rather than just wanting to point a finger and scream like a prophet that they're going to hell. And then maybe you'll have enough respect and true acceptance that you can tell them about their sins and really get them help. We got this wrong. You now know the truth. Your accountability level has gone up immensely. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, there's can't be a message I could ever give that I think I could have messed up in more ways than I've messed this one up. And I ask forgiveness, and I don't just ask forgiveness, I repent, and I ask you to help me to do better. And Lord, let it all come down to this. Let me see you. Let me want you. Let me want to please you. Let me want to look beautiful in your eyes. Let me want to do your will. Let me love the people you love so much that all this judgment stuff just happens to come natural because of my heart. Let that be our focus instead of legalistically trying to do everything we talked about today, Lord. We know the boundaries, but now the way to do all of it is nothing in ourselves. We can't do it. I can't do it. Let us realize everything we just learned about how to love only comes when we really choose to love you. And then it just comes. I praise you for your word and your wisdom. And your mercy and your long suffering and your forgiveness when we're not mature. And I pray you help us to be a light when so many churches are no longer a light. And then help us to do so humbly, knowing the only difference between us and the world is you. We are the world, we just have you. And praise you and glorify you. Have your work, Holy Spirit, in every heart. Show us what we need to do. In Christ's name.